Thanks to everyone who attended the first annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support. And thanks to these businesses for helping to make it possible. Illinois Farm Bureau, Farm Week, and FarmWeekNow.com, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and AgriGold.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for Tuesday, the 25th day of November 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Discuss the agricultural energies, especially the quickening pace of ethanol production in the United States. With Dan O'Brien, he's a K-State Extension Ag Economist. And we'll take up the weather forecast to Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We'll give us a preview of Wednesday's weather. And then, of course, Thursday's Thanksgiving Day weather forecast and what's been happening in South America and how it's proceeding for the development of the soybean and corn crops in the Southern Hemisphere. That all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. December corn up 6 3/4 today at $3.74 1/4. The March at $3.87 1/4, 7 cents higher. And the May futures at $3.95 3/4, up 6.5. July at $4.03, 6 3/4 higher. Next year's December corn, $4.17 1/4, up 6 1/4 cents. Soy complex bean futures, $10.51 in the lead option. January, a gain of 17 1/4 cents. March up 16.5 at $10.56 1/4. The May at $10.61 1/4, 15.5 cents higher. And July up 15 3/4 at $10.65 1/4. Next year's November contract, new beans at $10.23 3/4. Up 14 cents for the day. Bean meal at $390.60, up $15.70. And the bean oil up 22 at $33.42. Chicago wheat at $5.51.5, up 9 1/4 in the December. July at $5.70, up 7 1/4 cents in the Kansas City hard red. December at $6.17 1/4, up 13 cents for the day. July at $6.17.5, 11 1/4 cents higher. Live cattle futures from Chicago finished the lead option December at $170. 12.5 cents, up 62.5. Feeder cattle on the afternoon at 231.62.5. Finished down $1.72.5. The March there, down $1.30 in the feeder cattle. Lean hogs at 12.5 cents lower, $91.20 in the lead option December. We'll take a more complete look at these numbers in just a few minutes with Wayne Nelson.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Checking the outside markets now. Crude oil futures for the day at $74.03, down $1.75 a barrel. Heating oil at $2.40 3/10 cents, up 0.8 cents on the afternoon. That's diesel fuel. Gasoline on the RBOB at $2.02 6/10, down 0.7 cents. And natural gas for the day at $4.28 6/10, 13.5 cents higher. Ethanol futures, 2 2/10 cents lower at $2.05 8/10. And the outside markets, Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,808 is up 16 points. The gold at about $1,196.25 higher. And the U.S. dollar trading at 87.965 is down 0.241 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area today, mostly cloudy, a high of 30 degrees, a west wind at 8 miles an hour tonight, cloudy and 22. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of snow. That'll come after 1 in the afternoon. Increasing clouds, a high of 36 tomorrow. A 40% chance of that snow will continue into the evening on Wednesday through about 1 a.m. Cloudy with a low of 23, east winds at 6 to 8. And Thanksgiving Day, partly sunny, a high of 31, west-northwest winds at 9 to 14. Thursday evening, partly cloudy and 20. And on Friday, Black Friday, partly sunny and a high of 39 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, is back home after a big day in Normal, Illinois, yesterday at the Farm Assets Conference. Thanks for being there, Wayne. It was really fun. I really enjoyed myself yesterday.
You know, it was so great to get out and see a lot of new people at WIL meeting. New faces we don't see regularly, and boy, what good information was passed out and how interested everybody was and how much fun it was to talk to them. It was a great day.
Did you learn anything that you found of great interest?
I think I did. I think that we found out the farmers are going to be very stubborn holders of grain, and they aren't going to open their bin doors quite as easily as we thought they might here, even with the big numbers that they have. It was really brought up to my attention that all the containers that come from China to bring us all the little goodies we're going to be buying on Black Friday probably will get filled with beans to be sent back to them. So
yeah,
that might free up some space for corn to be loaded out of the Gulf.
That is an interesting little thought, because it happens year in and year out, but we really don't think about Black Friday in terms of what it means to the United States and what it can ship back. But the containers that come from other countries, China primarily, do have some backhaul, and normally that's filled with beans. They go out through what, the PNW, through the Pacific Northwest, correct?
I think so, yes.
And so the other flip side of that then is it opens up the Gulf of Mexico and New Orleans to export corn. So do you think we'll see a jump in the export numbers? They have been lagging pace, not exactly behind, though.
Well, I think we probably won't see a jump in the bean export numbers because they're awfully darn good, but we probably will see a little pickup in the load out of some corn over the next few weeks as we get those containers loaded and move out. And I think that would be what we need to do to get some of this corn, because we've got a burdensome supply of corn that we need to catch up on. You know, we're running ahead on the beans, but we're not running ahead on our corn exports.
Okay, so why did we have a rally in the markets across the board today? Soybeans, wheat, and corn were all higher.
Well, you know, it was a little bit frustrating to figure that out first thing this morning, but it seems like there was a lot of forced pricing in meal. They're having the European customers that have got basis levels finishing to their pricing in the December meal before we get into delivery notice on Friday. That was one thing. We saw some commercial buying. We've seen a lot of the commercials putting crush on the board, buying the beans they haven't bought from the farmers yet that way, so that helped raise the beans. And then, of course, the CBO released their preliminary 15 and 16 supply, demand, and plantings for corn, and they actually had the soy area down 2 million acres, let alone the increase that we've all been thinking along the way. So those things all put together, along with little farmers selling, give us a rally.
And did the rally in the wheat market surprise you very much? Because it's been the laggard in the process here.
Well, you know, it was a lot of talk about Russia and the Ukraine, maybe not quite as many acres. The cold weather that's coming in over there, not the good snow cover, and along with those few things along the way. So, there was a little bit of optimism in the wheat market also, but, I think it was more pulled by the beans than it was just on the wheat. But it did have a little strength on its own, but probably not the 10 cents that it got.
It was clear yesterday that there was a divergence between the corn and the soybeans, meaning that there were a few folks that were feeling more friendly to the corn market, but that most everybody, not quite everybody, but most all of the analysts were of a mind that soybeans still need to be sold. Farmers reminded everybody during the meeting that that was the case at $9 and at $9.50, I guess, and $9.75 and $10. But they're not really willing, as you said, to open up the bin door, should they be?
Well, that's a great question. Yesterday, how the market traded through most of the day, you would have thought that you would have wanted to be an open seller. And here again today, flip-flop around again, and instead of everybody bearish today like yesterday, everybody was bullish that traded the markets today. And we're going to see, I think, a lot of sideways and up and down trading, a lot of volatility happening here. You know, this is Thanksgiving week. We generally tend to rally you know, a 70% chance into like Wednesday or into tomorrow, and then I think like a 62% chance we're higher on Friday. So, you know, the percentages and odds are with for a little, you know, a little bump this week. So I think that we'll probably stay strong tomorrow.
It was not a huge trading range in the beans for the day, but it did post a pretty good size outside up market day and the lead option contract, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, the other thing that we got to be a little bit concerned about is where do we go from here, and that it also got up into the range where I think some of your chartist or technical people are going to say it may maybe sort of finished out that last shoulder. And will it go on up or will it go down and break the neck?
Do you have any preferences? Do you have any thoughts on which direction it might go?
I'll tell you what, I don't, Todd, because I'm more of a fundamentalist than a technical trader, and I just was reading most of that and, you know, being talked to and trying to discuss with a few people what they thought. Yeah. Most of the time it backs off and goes down, but, you know, it doesn't have to.
Well, from the fundamental side, we still remain with, at least at this point, a WASD figure that says carryout by the end of the year will be more than 400 million bushels for soybeans, and by comparison, we had, I don't know, a quarter of that or thereabouts at the end of, or less at the end of last year.
Yeah, we did. And that's where I, you know, when we're sort of worrying about maybe 50 or 100 million bushels of beans, if we have the production that we've got forecast here, and even if we do pick up our exports, which it could easily happen if you pick them up another 100 million, we've still got a very comfortable carryout.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us, and thanks so much for being at our first ever Farm Assets Conference yesterday.
My pleasure.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to talk about the agricultural marketplace. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. And while you're there, hit the Ag Outlook meetings calendar over on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll see our winter meeting schedule, not only for WILL and Ag Panels, but for University of Illinois Extension. The Ag Masters program is the first thing that comes up. That's December the 5th. 15th, sponsored by the Crop Sciences Department right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the I Hotel. If you're interested in production agriculture, this is academics, not 101, but at the very high level for farmers, and it's a great conference. I'll be helping to kick that one off on Monday the 15th. It's a two-day, day-and-a-half conference there at the I Hotel. The same week, I'll go out on the road with the farm economic specialist upstairs here in Mumford Hall on the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. These are great conferences. You can read more about them. We'll be in DeKalb and Peoria, Springfield, Mount Vernon, and Champaign. That's the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, December 15th to the 19th, Monday through Friday. And then in January, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series comes up. Most of you are familiar with these. They'll be in Peoria, Moline, and Malta this year, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of January. And then Springfield, Champaign, and Mount Vernon on week 2, the January 12th, 13th, and 14th events. You can find all the details on our website and ways to sign up. The links are there so you can get to the conferences and get signed up for those. All along the way, you can also check a little further down and find out what we're doing with our Will Ag panels. That's all at willag.org. Just check out the Outlook meetings calendar. Here are a couple of ag news stories for the afternoon. In what's becoming a Christmas tradition for Congress, no one has budged to help move expired tax breaks along. The Hill reports both sides want to wrap up talks soon over the so-called tax extenders, which come up about every 2 years for reauthorization. If a deal between the two chambers can't be reached, House Republicans are saying the best they might be able to do is extend tax breaks that expired at the end of 2013 only through the end of, well, this year. Once the Republicans gain control of the Senate in 2015, the issue could be revisited. The tax extenders package, of course, includes Section 179. Let's stay in Washington, D.C., where they're not out of the woods yet as it relates to the RFS. That's the verdict from the president of the Renewable Fuels Association on the fate of the renewable fuel standard after the EPA again delayed decision for this year's volume targets. RFA's Bob Dineen says 2014 is now water over the dam, if logic holds. EPA will simply set this year's renewable fuel standard based on volumes produced and sold, and that's good news, notes Dineen.
They didn't promulgate a rule that would have done damage for the future of the program. We were very concerned about the methodology that they were proposing and what it would mean for future years of the program. And so they walked away from that methodology,
which would have reduced this year's RFS 2 schedule from 14.4 billion gallons to 13 billion and left unchanged last year's 1.2 billion gallon biodiesel target. But Dineen says there's no certainty about 2015.
Clearly, we're not out of the woods as yet. EPA still hasn't figured out how they are going to implement this program down the road. But we will be working with them, and hopefully we'll be able to find a solution that is in everybody's interest.
And not just the oil companies.
Had they allowed the blend wall and demand and consumption and infrastructure to be used to justify a reduction, that really would have turned the program over to the oil companies, because they're the ones that determine how much infrastructure is available, how much E85 and E15 can be sold.
So now it's a waiting game, says Dineen, to see what EPA does about 2015. But he clearly expects another rollback in the RFS targets. He thinks the EPA's inaction keeps the veil of uncertainty over the whole industry, and that discourages demand, production, investment, jobs, and even lower gas prices. More on the RFS, I'm certain, as we make our way through the end of 2014 and, I suspect, most of 2015. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Dan O'Brien, Extension Agricultural Economist from Kansas State University, is on the phone line to take up the agricultural energy markets for us today. Thanks, Dan, for being with us. What do you have for us today on ethanol and biofuels?
Sharp, dramatic trends occurring in the gasoline and ethanol market prices. When you look at the trends that have been occurring since basically the first part of October for ethanol prices, we were down at about 150, and here closed yesterday literally at 208. Haven't gotten up to where we were this summer when we were at 220 before we fell off so dramatically from August into October. But we've recovered pretty sharply in terms of ethanol prices, and that's going in the opposite direction of where oil and gasoline prices are heading. They've dropped off dramatically. Again, crude oil from $107.08 per barrel June, July, down to about 75, so 75, 78 thereabouts for oil prices. Gasoline prices from 312 at the height this summer down to 202. That'd be gas CME gasoline unleaded spot price. So the ratio of ethanol to RBOB gasoline, again, that's the type of gasoline that's blended with ethanol, is over 100%. Here we're at 208 for ethanol and about 203 for RBOB, and we've been there before at different times. Back in April, we were at 1.23 in terms of when there was a kind of a supply demand imbalance between the two motor fuel sources, but here now we're back up again to where again ethanol prices are over RBOB, and I guess if you're a ethanol production plant, then you see that as a positive signal. Heavens, and I think we've seen that here of late with ethanol production jumping up based on the Energy Information Agency's weekly ethanol data numbers. We're up to 970 million barrels per day as an average. And corn usage, if you use the reasonable assumptions, we'd be on pace to use, I don't think we're going to sustain this, but we'd be on pace to use at these higher levels of ethanol usage, something like 5.4 billion bushels of corn. So corn market would be happy. You know, at low prices, heavens, yes, we need to use more corn. But the point is that the positive signal here has been received by the ethanol plants, and you can sort of see as you look at the projections of ethanol prices, profits, and costs here for the month of November, at least through the 21st, that we've got a November price so far of about $2.06, a cost of $1.60 per gallon, and profits of about 46 cents a gallon. So this is, I guess I'd say, to me, Todd, this seems to be an unexpected positive time for the ethanol market. We were thinking we were just going to be rushed and overwhelmed with ethanol supplies and that the price would collapse down. Well, now we're finding ourselves in a similar situation.
You said you don't know whether this is sustainable, and I suppose that is related to both price and capacity within the system?
Both those issues can come into play for sure. I guess I shouldn't question whether it's sustainable, but to what degree can we ramp up production and not eventually start to see supplies outpace usage and start to see prices come down a little bit? But even moderate profits would be better than what we may have been expecting but 2 or 3 months ago when we were looking at the ethanol industry.
What else do we need to discuss in the agricultural energy side of this marketplace?
Biodiesel. We've seen the at least with our November numbers, when you look at biodiesel and soybean oil prices, we're at about 34 cents per pound for soybean oil prices for the input side on biodiesel. We're at about 319, 320 per gallon on that side. Profitability-wise, at least as we look at a representative plant, we'd have a cost during November of about 327 per gallon. For producing biodiesel, a price for sales of, again, about 320, and a net loss of about 8 cents. So, again that seems to be sort of the longer-term norm on the biodiesel side. I don't want to be flippant in a Kansas way and say we can't stand prosperity, but since about December of 2013, we haven't seen long periods of either profit or loss sustain themselves. We kind of hang around within 8-10 cents of break even either way, and that seems to be where we're at. So I guess in terms of other issues, the bigger issues are kind of policy driven. As you well know, Todd, we've talked about in the past, and other of your good economists there in Illinois, Scott Irwin and others, talked about the RFS, renewable fuel standard, and what might happen. And now EPA has delayed a decision apparently until next year, and you know these issues have major repercussions on ethanol production, on biodiesel production, and where these different industries might go, and frankly, from a Kansas corn producer point of view, what corn prices might be down the road. Again, if we ramp up ethanol production, it sure would have a major impact on corn prices for direct ethanol use, direct livestock feeding use, and probably would have an impact on distillers' grains markets as well.
And we'll try to talk with you again soon. Thanks
Support
so much,
for agricultural
Dan.
Information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.
On this day in agricultural history in 1715, Thomas Masters became the first American granted an English patent. It was actually for an invention discovered by Masters' wife for cleaning and curing Indian corn growing in several colonies in America. By the way, the first patent issued within the colonies occurred in 1641 for a new method of extracting salt. In 1837, the first U.S. patent was issued for a silk figure power loom. In 1846, Carrie Amelia Nation was born. A well-known temperance movement activist, she was famous for destroying saloons with a hatchet. And in 1884, the first U.S. patent for the process of evaporated milk was issued to John Meyenberg, a Swiss immigrant living in St. Louis. The process began by heating the milk with external hot steam while stirring, followed by cooling, straining, and condensing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is with us to take a look at the weather forecast. Let's start here in the Midwest because we have a holiday weekend coming up along with Thanksgiving on Thursday. What do you see for Turkey Day in my part of the world?
Well, for Turkey Day, it will be a little bit of a turkey with the weather, at least when it comes to what the thermometer is going to read. We're going to see a clipper come out of Canada, and we're going to see a chance Wednesday for a little bit of snow shower activity. It is going to be chilly for Thanksgiving, but by the time we get into Thanksgiving weekend, even beginning on Friday, we'll see a nice little warm-up come our way before we start to see a penetration of some colder air move back into the Great Lakes, Midwest, and the Corn Belt by early next week. The next shot of colder weather that's coming late this weekend and early next week, nothing like what we experienced earlier in the month of November. But it's going to be a busy pattern, Todd. There's going to be another storm system around Wednesday or Thursday next week that will bring back the cold and possibly some rain and snow.
Oh, interesting. Anything that you see that will be problematic later into December?
Well, I think that from what we're seeing, December is going to be a busy month with a lot of storm systems traversing the United States. So precipitation is going to probably be at or above normal for many areas. I don't see December being terribly cold, at least starting that way. Towards the end of the month, we do expect to turn colder.
Well, I have to ask, Buffalo has dug themselves out once. I suspect they'll do it many more times this winter, but will be, in your opinion, a tough one?
The start of lake effect is usually always the worst, as the water temperatures of the lakes are still very favorable to produce those heavy snow squalls. As the winter season goes on, as there's more ice in the lakes and as those water temperatures get colder, they won't see the extreme amount of snow, but more lake effect, the answer to your question, is likely in Buffalo, although not to the extent that we've seen so far.
Discuss for me your view of the growing season in South America.
Well, so far, it's been fairly unremarkable. Conditions in South America in particular have gotten a little bit better with precipitation. And Brazil, some of the central northern areas of Argentina, looking at what I'd call average amounts of precipitation and rain coming in the next week to 10 days. And when it comes to temperature, a little colder than normal, but nothing that's too extreme.
Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks to everybody who came to our Farm Assets Conference, the first annual in Normal, Illinois, on Monday. We think it was a fantastic event. If you do, too, please let us know, or let us know about changes you'd like if you happen to be in attendance. There are many more winter meetings coming up. You can find the complete list of what Dave and I will be involved with over the winter months on our website at willag.com. ag.org. That's WILLAG.org. December the 15th, the Ag Masters program is at the I Hotel right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. It's the premier event for the Crop Sciences Department. Great event. You should check out all the details at WILLAG.org. On the 15th, also, the Illinois Farm Economics Summits begin. We'll make our tour around the state in DeKalb, Peoria, Springfield, Mount Vernon, and Champaign. That's Monday through Friday, the week of December the 15th. Check out the details for Ag Masters and the Farm Economic Summits on our website. I'm Todd Gleason.